near close of the day. We ought to be grateful that this evening, as the sun is setting, that we can be with those of like precious faith to worship God in spirit and in truth. I appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that you come back every opportunity you have. It's always good to see you. And we hope that we make you feel welcome and that you'll want to be with us more and more and more because we want you to be here. So we thank you for coming. If you have questions about what I say, you let me know that. I'm easy to get in touch with, easy to talk with. I may not say anything back to you. I may just listen and you make any comment that you want to make, negative, positive, ask any question that you want to ask, and you feel free to do that. In fact, on the TV and radio program, I encourage people to come let us know. If you agree with us, that's fine. You come let us know that. If you disagree with us, and if you want to say, preacher, I've got it in for you, I didn't agree with what you said, I'm listening to that. You come let us know that. We'd be happy to have any dialogue that we can with other people because we care about people and want to talk with people about what the Bible says. And so sometimes our response may be, well, thank you for sharing. And sometimes that's just quite simply the best response. If someone wants to say something, thank you for sharing, and you listen and just go on. Let them go on. So feel free to say whatever you like to say. And by the way, I appreciate the comments that you made regarding the lesson this morning. I was thinking in the back before I got up here, have I recently preached about this topic? Because it seems familiar to me, but I think the reason that it seems familiar to me is because I recently talked about this on one of the radio programs. I think it came on today, and so if you listen to that radio program, I think it was one that's out of Hazard, then you've heard of some of this material, not all of it. Can't fit it all on a 15-minute program, but I think we talked about it. This morning we talked about whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. Do it heartily. And do it to the glory of God was the 3 points that I made in the sermon this morning. Hopefully you've not forgotten it in the last 6 hours or so. Tonight I want us to think about our hope. And what the Bible says about hope. We're not going to talk about everything the Bible says about hope because the word hope is found 121 times. 121 verses in the Bible. It may be more than 121 times, but it's 121 verses in the Bible that uses the word hope. And it means an expectation or a confidence in that which we patiently wait for. Now think about one of the best Bible definitions, if not the best definition of what hope is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen, it's a definition of faith, but it talks about hope, that we hope for things. Things of which we've not seen. If we see it, then why do we wait for it? Why do we hope for that which we have seen? And so, hope is that which we do not see. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen God. I've never seen the Son, our Savior, the Christ of God. Never seen those things. But by thy faith, I believe that they exist when our pick up the divine record, and I read about the fact that they are real. But we hope for them. So I want us to talk about, for just a little while, make some points about hope. And the very first one that I want you to think about is all of them are important, but especially the first one. Ladies and gentlemen, your hope as a Christian is not in me. It's not in man. We put our hope and our trust and our confidence in man, we'll be disappointed. But our hope is in Christ. I think about the passage that we've talked about so many times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a very important passage when you think about the day of the Lord. Because he talks about the coming of the day of the Lord. He talks about the Lord coming. He talks about the resurrection. Talks about forever being with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13. If not the majority of funerals, the near majority of them, an appeal is made to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it is comforting. It's given as a comfort to God's people. It's not extended as comfort to those who are not God's people. The text itself will deal with that. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And there's only two places we can die. I've talked about that before and done programs on that. Two places we can die, in the Lord or out of the Lord. And this passage is dealing with those who die in the Lord. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, well, surely as Christians they believe that. You believe that? I do. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that those which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, some versions say, shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Notice that again, if you underscore that in your Bible. Notice what He says is to take you back to 13. And you sorrow not as others which have no hope. You ought to underscore have no hope. In verse 14, you ought to underscore those which sleep in Jesus. Underscore that. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which we are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Underscore this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. You ought to do a study on what He's talking about when He says, rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that not a comfort to you that have obeyed the gospel? That whether you die in the Lord or you are alive at His coming, you will forever be with the Lord when this life is over. That encourages me. Life can be difficult, so we live in difficult times. Are they more difficult now than at times past? Well, it depends on how you qualify that. Christians have always been persecuted, and we certainly have it easier so far as physical persecution goes in our country today than what they had in New Testament times. I think you would agree with that. If we don't see that in the Bible, we're reading the Bible with blinders on. But yet, there are Christians who are persecuted in a lot of various different ways and places today. And we are to various extents. But our hope is in Christ. In Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope, now listen to it, my hope is in Thee. Well, you know what the logical question to ask is? Like the other things that we've talked about before that is in Christ, I think we did recently talk about that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, underscore that. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And the other passages that talk about in Christ Jesus. Salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4. 2 Timothy 2:10 rather. Well, the question is, how do I get into Christ? And I know that I'm talking to the vast majority of people tonight who already know the answer to that. But you need to be reminded about it. And there may be some here, no doubt, who don't know how to get into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and following answers that. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Two places in the New Testament address that. Galatians 3 and Romans 6. And you need to be familiar with both. And so our hope is in Christ Jesus. So if you're here tonight not a Christian, you have no hope. You can have the hope of which we're reading about, but you've got to first get into Christ, right? We're on the same page. And so you need to make up your mind tonight. I'm not leaving this building until I get into Christ. And then do that. But also we need to understand, according to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. You know what hope is? Which hope we have. Hope supplied by the translators, italicized in the King James Version. Some other versions won't italicize it. For clarification of what is being stated, when he makes a point in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. What hope? The hope that is set before us. Not now, but the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You ever think about and pay attention to the things that the Bible sets forth before us? Play on some of the words. Set forth before us those things which are yet out there that we don't have now, but we anticipate they're set before us. Lay hold on eternal life. It's an anchor of the soul, and we be steadfast. Steadfast has the idea of being unmovable. You know what an anchor is? Something that is anchored will not move. That's the intent of the anchor. Maybe you tie something down. You want to anchor it. You bolt something down. A great ship. You think about it. We studied about ships when we talked about the tongue in James chapter 3. How they controlled by a very small helm and so forth. You think about the anchor. In comparison to the size of the ship, the anchor is relatively small. Oh yes, it weighs much, but it's small, but it can steady that ship. Think of that. And keep it from what? Drifting away. Recently it was in the news that a ship is washed kind of ashore, and their goal is to pull it back out to deeper waters and get it back to a dock, but they could not use the anchor. Why not? Shallow ground. Didn't need it. It was already there. But an anchor has the idea of steadfast. Be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, the always encouraging words of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. As Paul would say, as we got to mature in Christ, and he would say that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so hope is an anchor of the soul. In the book of Titus chapter 1, and in verse 1 beginning, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Now watch this for our third point. In hope of eternal life, which God... It cannot lie. We just talked about the fact that God cannot lie in Hebrews chapter 11, or 6 rather, in verse 18. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What can you say about hope as a Christian? That we have hope of eternal life when this life is over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that life as it is here will not last forever. Now, make no mistake about it, we enjoy our family. And when you think about leaving our families when the time comes, whenever that may be, we don't like to think about that. Why not? Because people don't take care of our own family like we will. We don't want to leave our family. We have concern for our family. We love our family. Yet at the same time, when you think about the life that is to come, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Underscore that. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're most miserable. It's not confined to this world. And since this world, we have hope of an eternal home in heaven when life is over. As I mentioned earlier, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 19. Just think about the hope that a Christian has. You know what it's made possible by? If I were to ask you, what is it made possible by? what would you say? Somebody said the death of Christ. The death of Christ. There you go. The resurrection of Christ. Without the death of Christ, there would be no resurrection of Christ. But our hope that we have is made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin with verse 1 and notice what he says as we read through verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin with verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or a living, some versions say, hope. Well, how did He do that? We are begotten again unto a living hope. Watch this. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what to? To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, another point. But Jesus died, not to say that He was the only one that was crucified. It's not to say that He was the only one that was raised from the dead. He wasn't. But He was the one that was raised from the dead to die no more. And therefore, we have, by the resurrection of Christ, hope of eternal life. If there's no resurrection, well, what would that mean? Take the guesswork out of it and turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and read it. We're not going to do that now, but in your spare time, if you have any, get around to it. Read the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15, and notice those unavoidable conclusions that Paul so succinctly lays out before us. If there be no resurrection, your faith is vain, you're still in your sins, we preach in vain, Jesus died in vain. All those things that he talks about in that chapter is by the resurrection of Christ. It do you no good to be baptized. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, did you know that? But preacher, what do you mean? Well, read Romans chapter 6. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, even so shall we be in the likeness of His resurrection. The old man is crucified with Him. The new man comes forth as we arise to walk in newness of life. If Christ hadn't risen from the dead, there'd be no form that we can obey that would be in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. That's why the Bible says later in the chapter, but thanks be unto God that you have from the heart obeyed that form of doctrine being delivered that you had received. Verses 16 through 18. I want to also look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So as to qualify that, this parenthetical statement, and by the way, when you study the Bible and something is in parentheses, what's that doing? It's making even more emphatic and clear what he had just stated, baptism doth also now save us. And he's going to qualify that and say it, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not the removing of the filth of the flesh. And so, by the resurrection of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. So three times in the New Testament that phrase is used. 1 Peter 1, 3, 1 Peter 3, 21, and Romans chapter 1, verse 4. But also, as you think about our hope is answerable. Why on earth do you believe in heaven? You've never seen it. Why do you believe that Jesus is real? You didn't meet Him. Why do you believe Bible miracles were really performed and that they were real? You didn't see them. Folks, I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to see to believe. Do you? We don't have a blind faith, by the way. We've dealt with that this year in our thing that we've been doing practically all year. When your children ask, Joshua 4, 6, and 7. You've not forgotten that, right? We don't have a blind faith. Our faith is on the evidence. Right? The evidence of things that we didn't see, but we've got the evidence. Jesus even said, blessed are you've seen, but blessed are they which have not seen and yet believe. Think of that. I've not seen and yet I believe. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through Him. And so no, we don't have to see to believe. We've got the Word of God that provides us with ample evidence to believe that these things are so. But it's answerable. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can you defend it? You might say, well, I can't defend it like so-and-so can. Well, God doesn't expect you to do it like so-and-so can. God don't expect you to be so-and-so, and the reason being, you're not so-and-so. If He wanted another so-and-so, He would have made one. And so, you don't have to teach others like so-and-so. You teach people with your abilities. We talked about this morning, 1 Peter 4:11. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth. May God in all things may be glorified. I'm not concerned about preaching like so-and-so. Though there's a lot of preachers that do a very good job, just preach with the ability that I have, and you need to do the same. It's answerable. Colossians chapter 4, and then verse 6. Colossians is filled full of so many good points. Probably a very often overlooked book, because we think since it's such a good companion to the book of Ephesians, we can read Ephesians and forget about Colossians. There's a lot of similarities, but there's a lot of other things you can learn. In Colossians 4 and in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. They may know how you ought to answer every man. And then for our next point, we've talked about the fact that our hope, we've talked about the fact that it's not in man, it's in Christ. And we've read about the fact that it is in heaven. In heaven. That's what we hope for, an eternity with God when this life is over. In the book of Colossians, while you're there, turn to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in the bank, in your 401k, in Social Security, and whatever investment it might be, no. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where'd they hear about that hope? The gospel. That's what Paul says. Then he goes on to talk about that the gospel is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so it's in heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:19. But also, last point. Hope, what would you say? If I wrote this on the board and left a blank on the board, what would you fill it in with? Hope, blank. Here's the answer. Hope saves. Hope saves. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says, for we are saved by hope. Remember when I mentioned to you earlier about if you see it, then why do you yet hope for it? Well, that's where that comes from. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Did you know hope saves? The religious world throws a fit when we talk about things which the Bible says saves. Well, they don't have a problem with saying that the Word saves, necessarily, in which it does, James chapter 1, verse 21. They don't have a problem when you say, by and large, that the blood of Christ saves, and it does. 1 Peter 1 and Revelation 1 and Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, and other passages. But then when you say that baptism saves, well, they've got a problem with that. And yet the Bible says so. We just read that in 1 Peter 3:21. But the Bible says here in Romans 8:24 that we are saved by hope. You need those passages that talk about that which we are saved by, because when you are confronted with someone who says grace alone, faith alone, and there's plenty of them out there, you can hold their feet to the fire. Are we saved by hope, yes or no? Romans 8:24. Shake or not, it'd be this way. The text says so. If you say no, then you are arguing with God. And so if I say, are we saved by grace? Yes or no? Yes, Ephesians 2, 8. But if I say grace alone, or if I say faith alone, then I can't put anything else with it. And you'd have to go into your Bible and cut out or mark out Romans 8, 24. Because you can't have anything with grace if by grace alone we're saved. You see that point? You've got to have those passages. Mark them down, whatever book it is you mark down things in, of which the Bible says saves us. Got those on a bookmarker if you want them. Let me know and I'll be happy to give you one. I'm thankful for the hope that I have as a Christian. And I know that you're thankful for the hope that you have as a Christian. Knowing that it's in Christ, that it's an anchor. It's hope of eternal life. It's made possible by the resurrection of Christ. It's answerable. It's in heaven. And we're saved by hope. Preacher, I want to become a Christian. I hope if you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian that you'll want to become one. You may say, preacher, I don't know enough. Well, let me know that you want to study. Folks, I'm willing to study with anybody, anywhere, anytime that wants to know the truth. A lot of folks don't want to know the truth, and I know that. We realize that, but if somebody wants to study with it. We'll sit down as long as it takes, as long as necessary to help you know what the Bible says so that you can obey it and go to heaven when life is over. I'm not yet, and I hope I never anticipate the time coming where I've said no to a Bible study. Now, I may have said it not under those conditions, because I know what the intent was in it that was made known, but never said no to a Bible study. I'll study with you any time. And I know a lot of brethren here will be willing to do that. If you say, preacher, I want to know more, but I'm not willing to study with you. I don't feel comfortable with that. I want to study with someone else. That's okay. Pick someone else and study. The point is, come to a knowledge of the truth and obey it. Let heaven be your eternal home. That's what we want, is to go to heaven until all of God's people get home with Him for an eternity in heaven. We'll keep on working, right? We'll work till Jesus comes. You become a Christian by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. Here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, God will forgive you of everything you've ever committed. And you can go on your way rejoicing like the eunuch did, that he was a child of God. Years ago, a family member of mine that spent a lot of years preaching, and to my knowledge, he's still doing that. I don't have any contact with him, but to my knowledge, he's still busy about preaching. We told the story of an elderly man that, well up in years, had decided to obey the gospel. And the man came forward and preparation was made to baptize him. He was immersed into Christ. And the preacher said no sooner than he got out of the water, this elderly man raised his hands and said, praise God, I'm on my way. You can do that tonight. Go on your way rejoicing that heaven will be your eternal home. Think of that. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been living your life as you should and you want to come home. when I'll be restored. Now's the time. You may not have another opportunity. Is it worth putting off? It's not. Be restored. Repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer, He'll restore you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that is to forgive you of all of your unrighteousness, all of your sin that you've committed. And we bid you to do that, right?